Everybody had to take something off. Sabine had to take her helmet off. What's the girl's name, Blondie, that's a really good friend? Shin?
Shin. Okay.
Shin had, she was so dramatic. She was the first one. She had to take the cape off. She left her on the ground. And the minute she did that, all I kept thinking to myself is,
hello there, and welcome to Pink Milk, your Star Wars podcast for us super fans.
And those of us who are forced to listen to them.
Today is someday, and someday, Thomas, what do you think about going to another galaxy?
Is it far, far away?
I think it's even farther.
Oh.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's hit hyperdrive and drink up.
Drink up.
Are you a drink?
Hello there. Pop up.
Hello there.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm feeling super duper.
Well, super duper.
Driving my Mini Cooper.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm satisfied.
Yep, I do.
How's your week been, hon?
Oh, pretty well. How about yourself?
You know, I'm looking forward to this next week that we don't have a sick child at home anymore.
Yes, the coughing.
The coughing. And the lack of sleep. The lack of sleep.
And the coughing.
Thank you to all those anti-vaxxer parents that brought sickness and whooping cough into this house.
Yes, thank you. Although no confirmation on whooping cough yet, so.
Yeah, it was looking that direction, but I'm starting to think it was just a cold.
I think so, too.
I'm still going to give a stinky eye to anti-vaxxer parents that still put their kids in public school.
I'm just shocked that you can get whooping cough. Not that we know he has it and he's gone through medication, but I'm shocked that you could get whooping cough when you had a whooping cough vaccination. So anyway.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I guess it's like COVID in a way. Which he doesn't have because he was tested for.
You know what, Thomas?
No, Brian.
Let's say hello to all the listeners.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
If you're new here, welcome. If you're old here, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I'm your host, Brian. With me, as always, is my better half and your better host, Thomas.
Hello.
I need to make a confession here. I feel like I'm in the confessional of the real world.
And I must be the priest.
Oh, and we can maybe play that later. I need to let all the listeners know that my husband put me on blast earlier this week. And I listened, and I'm going to do better.
Which time?
I need to... I don't like the word lower my expectations, but I need to come more open-minded to things. Thomas asked me if I even liked Star Wars anymore and if I even liked Ahsoka, because apparently I haven't been sounded too positive about it. And I really do like it.
You know, I wish you could come with the gift that I come with, which is I'm there for the experience. I'm watching it. You... And all your depth of knowledge and experience and everything in between with regards to Star Wars and your love for it, for sure, sometimes can be, an experience.
Okay, a few things. First, most importantly, I think I came to a realization. I was watching Return of the Jedi. For another podcast that'll be on here in a few weeks. Keep listening if you're interested in knowing where that will be. I will give you that information as I have more information. I think that perhaps now that we've had many a year of Star Wars under different visions, I love Star Wars. This is not a Brian doesn't like Star Wars, but I think my love of Star Wars may have been misplaced in Star Wars to the extent in which I have placed it. And I think my love needs to go to George Lucas. Because I still love Star Wars, but Star Wars is not the same without George. It's just not the same. That doesn't mean that it's bad. That doesn't mean that I don't like it anymore. But it will never be what it was because he's not here anymore. So it really just can't be what it was. There's so many people at Lucasfilm that are very talented. Dave Filoni is very talented. The writers are very talented. Everyone making this loves it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. I fully believe that. But it's just not George Lucas anymore. And that's okay. And so I think I need to stop comparing this to George Lucas, because I don't think that will ever be able to be matched ever again. And maybe I found some freedom.
Well, welcome.
So I like the sounds of it.
Yeah, with this newfound perspective,
mm-hmm. you can experience what I experience, which is the joy of just watching a show for, you know, hour, half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever the episode is.
Hopefully 30 minutes.
Yes.
In Ahsoka's case, there's got to be a blend in between. I mean, I definitely obviously have chimed in before about some of them being so short. It's like, whoa,
yep.
What happened?
And then they got too long.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, what do you say? Do you want to go hop into the episode?
Let's do
watch it. Okay, let's go watch episode 4 of Ahsoka. Hit pause. Go watch it. Come back to us. That's what we'll be doing. And
we're back.
We're back. You know? I like a good Star Wars title when it's on the nose. Fallen Jedi, falling off cliffs. Mm-hmm. It works.
Very much so.
That was episode 4. What'd you think?
I thought it was really good. Big surprise there at the end. I don't know if we're chatting about that just yet. Surprise. Just came off a big surprise.
We get to the world between worlds, and it's hard to not be excited and talk
about that. Is that what it's called?
That. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. You haven't seen any of those things
nope.
from Rebels. So it's very new to you. Yeah, I want to circle back to something I said before the break about George Lucas and my love of George Lucas. There's just something funny going on because this is the 4th episode of this series of 8 episodes. We are currently, as we're rewatching this show, we are currently watching Netflix's version of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Which is very good.
It's good. I am learning there too, which also probably got me to the thing of maybe I'm give Star Wars too much credit and George Lucas not enough. And Avatar is very good, but it is not the same. And it's this weird feeling of like watching something that you love, because I love Avatar like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't want to see a live action remake of the animated series, because I'd rather just watch the animated series. So give me something different. Give me a different flavor. And this is definitely a different flavor. And I think some of my frustration with Avatar might be the similar things to Ahsoka. Like, they're different. This version of Ahsoka is a different character. I'm cool with that. We have all these things. It's got a different tone than like Rebels did. Just like Avatar: The Last Airbender has a different tone than the animated series did.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're trying too hard to then also but make them look the same. Like, the costumes are one-to-one and the colors are one-to-one. And so there's this like the way of telling the story with words and tone that are not congruent or the same as what came before. But then visually you're trying to make it look the same. And I think that's where it's throwing me off. Like, make them look a little bit different then.
Are we talking about Star Wars or Airbender?
Both, mm-hmm. I think, because like Hera is great. She is a different character than she is in the show.
You don't like her lipstick. We know that.
No, but the costume does, like, it just doesn't look good.
Yeah, but
Chopper is too bright. It's too saturated. So it is live action with saturation from an animated show.
For you, though, because you digested and loved it and lived off all the episodes of Rebels and Ahsoka and all of that stuff. For me, who didn't, I actually am pretty impressed with everything they're doing.
It doesn't look weird.
I mean, she's green. I mean, I don't know that I would have thought much of it until you spent so much time on the greenness of her all. And the lipstick, I can tell the lipstick's a little off, but to me, but I don't know. I don't wear lipstick, so I don't know. Maybe that's the right color for green.
Yeah. I don't wear it either, so I don't know.
But then maybe you don't know. Maybe that is the right color for if you have green complexion.
Okay. I wear pretty much black all the time, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyways, but you know what was this episode, honestly, mm-hmm. is the best episode of Ahsoka that we've received so far, I think.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, you know, because I've seen the story, I think we've got a really good one or two coming up, actually.
Oh, no, but right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Okay,
four
so far.
Four is the best so far. Yeah.
I mean, it was a real nice surprise to see Anakin. And I'm glad it wasn't Darth Vader.
Yeah, and then the music came in. Darth Vader's score came in at the end. It's so great. I just remember being kind of a fumbling mess when I first saw that because I was surprised. But what's funny is we also finished episode four of Avatar The Last Airbender, and it really started to take off for me, where I was like, really in it. Like that version, the episode four of Avatar, I feel like I'm fully invested now. Like I was really, really stoked. So there's, it's interesting. You have four episodes. I feel like in watching this, couldn't one, two, and three have been condensed a little bit? And couldn't we've gotten to this quicker and then had more time? That's how I feel. Honestly, I feel that way about all
of... I think
the
answer is yes, actually.
Yeah, like all of these Netflix, this new way of storytelling because of Netflix, these drops. Like we take too long to get somewhere and then it's hurry up and get over. And I feel like we haven't quite gotten the formula down yet.
For Ahsoka or for Airbender? Because I'm getting
both.
Confused.
I think, but I feel like, I feel this is... We are talking about Ahsoka, but I think Ahsoka is suffering from the same thing Airbender is. And I really, we're only up to episode four in Airbender. But a lot of these, like, what do you want to call them? Droplet shows, like condensed seasons. They're not 22 episodes. Right. It's like eight episodes. Netflix had some stuff with like...
To me, they're like miniseries, but there's, yeah.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I just, they... And honestly, this style of storytelling is still kind of new.
Well, in both scenarios, they're both coming off something or from some place where the, either the star or the series were such big things, but they're trying to, in my opinion, capture new audiences, people like myself, new audience. Because I, same thing with Airbender, I didn't, interesting, I've seen enough of the episodes, but not anything consistently. So I have a general idea, but just enough. That would be the same thing with The Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen a few, but not a lot, but just enough to know who these people are. I think that they had to, in both scenarios, spend time developing who these people were for people like myself. But the average person who, actually, quite frankly, even if I was watching, I would forget. How many times do I say, oh, let's watch the recap, you know, from the previous seasons anyway? Because, oh, I forgot what happened. It was great at the time, though.
Yeah, you know, I just, like, 100%. But I just, it's something I'm observing in watching a lot of these kinds of storytelling things. They're taking too long to introduce you to all these people. Like, think about A New Hope. It's 2.5 hours. So we've already surpassed that. You met all those characters and had an entire story introduced to you because you don't have the time. I keep hearing faster, more intense in my head saying George Lucas did. Like, honestly, did Sabine need to get stabbed and spend an entire episode in the hospital bed? Probably not.
That was a long episode.
You know, like she could have faced off against Shin, gotten lost without getting stabbed. And we could have saved an hour of her in a hospital room. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
But then
I just,
she wouldn't have been dramatic and cut her hair. We needed the turning point, the haircut turning point.
We did, which is great. I mean, the haircut also establishes I'm ready to move on from where I was. So anyways, it's just, it's an observation that I'm making that Ahsoka, I feel, has fallen into this. But a lot of shows in these eight hour long stories seem to be falling into. Like, hurry up and get to the meat. And then spend more time eating. But you know what? Like cooking, it takes longer to cook the meal than it does to eat the meal.
So should we get a haircut?
I am due for a haircut, Tom. The backyard is right there.
Me too.
All right, let's get into this episode, Fallen Jedi. I really just very, 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 very much liked this episode. We're still hanging out under the trees. Sabine and Huyang are fixing the ship. Ahsoka's outside being a Jedi and looking into the night sky going, oh my God, I have to ditch my friend Ezra because we have to destroy that map. Because if they get there and we don't, well, Ezra doesn't matter because now Thrawn's going to take over the galaxy. It's such a Jedi thing. You know, for people who are supposed to not believe in extremism, or what is the line that Obi-Wan tells him, you know, tells Anakin, absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jedi sure do seem to deal in absolutes a lot. You either got it, you can get Ezra, or you can't. It's very weird. It's mm-hmm. very weird. And Sabine is like upset about that. And, you know, what's interesting is, like, what you don't know because you didn't watch Rebels is Sabine walked away from her entire family. That's how she ended up meeting the Ghost Crew.
Mm-hmm.
And they became kind of her adoptive family because she walked out on her family, and her family also kind of gave up on her all at the same time. It was a complicated mess because the Mandalorians are complicated people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she wants to do that again because she was reunited with her family. And now we know her family was all killed in the tears.
The Siege Grand Moff, of Mandalore?
Yeah, the Siege of Mandalore mm-hmm. and whatever Grand Moff Gideon, mm-hmm. Moff and Top Gideon did. So it's pretty, you know, it's interesting. And that's kind of where we're going now. So Ahsoka's like lost all hope. In a way, that's what it feels like. It feels like the Jedi are always losing hope.
Mm-hmm. Very emotional batch.
They really are. For people who say attachment...
Touchy, very touchy.
Yeah.
Always have something going on.
They do.
Now that you mention it, I'm thinking back.
You know,
yeah.
We brought up earlier that I don't even think we were recording yet. We were talking about the end where it looks like Enya and Deep Forest and...
Mm-hmm.
The World Between Worlds looks like a 1990s New Age gone electronic music video.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Jedi probably listen to lots of like Deep Forest and India. They like create their own problems. They're all melodramatic and make their own problems. It's just interesting because here we are. Sabine and Ahsoka are going through that. And Ahsoka's like, will you leave your friend if I tell you to? Oh, you can count on me, girl. And then we're off. And then now here's Baylan and your girl, Morgan Elsbeth.
Mm-hmm. Love her. I really like her. That's something about
She is overly confident. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, no, you don't understand. I'm a witch, bitch. And this is going to work. And Baylan's
soon to be dead one.
Uh-huh, because her arrogance gets in front of her.
Uh-huh.
But then there's, and then, you know, Baylan says something, whatever it was, it's inconsequential. And Morgan's like, is that fear? In your voice? Is that a note of fear I hear in your voice or whatever? And he's like, no, it's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what...
I thought that was a really good line, actually.
But I just find it interesting that here they are, two Jedi in the same show, not feeling very hopeful. And not... Like, they are the people who were supposed to rely on the Force and rely on life bringing you to the right place. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who... They lost faith in it. It's very interesting. I mean, the whole Jedi Order fell. So I do think there is, in this episode in particular, there's a lot of comparison between Ahsoka and Baylan. I feel that those two characters did come from the same background.
Because I have to say, in this episode, I do not like Baylan.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about him. I actually like him. I believe he believes that he's on the side of right, just based on his comments.
I feel, yeah. Especially knowing the ending, because mm-hmm. at the end, we are on in, I just completely blanked on the galaxy. They're in Neimoidia or mm-hmm. Plutoidia or Harmonica or whatever they are.
It's far, far away.
It's far, it's even farther away. And then even farther away galaxy,
mm-hmm.
it's clearly where the father, the son, and the daughter were. And he's on the mountain of the father, who is... Like, they are the creators of the Force, basically. And that's from a Clone Wars thing.
Oh,
so I think Baylan, he had no interest in Morgan or Thrawn. He had no interest in that. He was literally using her technology to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because I think he wants to kind of start a new Jedi Order. You know, and I do think... So,
question.
It's interesting.
Question. What do you think he meant... When he first started off the scene together with her, with yeah. Ahsoka, that he had heard a lot about her from yeah. Anakin. So in what sense, because in the end, So what Anakin are we dealing with? Are we dealing with the Anakin turned Darth Vader?
Darth Vader?
I know, sorry. The
oh my God, no, you just sounded like Trumpleteen. Because when he's like, you are henceforth being known as Darth
Vader. Micah was telling me my accent was coming out the other day, too.
Darth Vader. So before we get there, there's a great fight. Love seeing Hu Ying fight some sort of the HK droids. It's great.
Yeah.
Sabine and Shin are out dueling one another. Ahsoka's off fighting Marok. Okay. Okay, well, you brought
it
up.
Potatoes,
I do feel like Ahsoka is supposed to be one of the greatest Jedi warriors. She was literally taught by the greatest.
And she got pushed off the cliff. And now it's in the world between worlds. It is funny when you put it that way.
Everyone is wearing capes like they're samurai. They needed to hire a better stunt coordinator because fight scenes are a little slow.
So it can't go. Only because this is a queer podcast, so I have to at least mention that now.
A queerer or the queerest?
Everybody had to take something off. Sabine had to take her helmet off. What's the girl's name, Blondie, a really good friend? Shin?
Shin. Okay.
Shin had, she was so dramatic. She was the first one. She had to take the cape off. She left her on the ground. And the minute she did that, all I kept thinking to myself is, she's going to go back.
Okay.
That? You want to leave that in the middle of the forest? But then we move on.
Oh, well, hold
we
on. Move on. Hold on. No. The helmet is there. And watch, when she's in the farther galaxy, the helmet somehow comes back.
Oh, does it come back?
It sure does.
Maybe she used the force to bring it back.
But she can't. She couldn't get the teacup. And then she was just sitting there.
All right. From this point forward, we are going to watch to see if the helmet appears anywhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then it was a very dramatic, what's his name?
Baylan.
Baylan had to pull the thing off and then take his, and she's like, Ahsoka's like, well, I'm going to one-up you and take mine off too. Everybody had to take something off. I don't get it.
Why is Ahsoka constantly in her cape?
Around.
That cape is on and off Ahsoka. You are right. This is like, you know what?
You're right. Drag. You said it last week. Lots of costume changes. She had being outside the spaceship outfit, came inside. It was a quick change. It's like she had a show to do. She went through the little hole. Bang.
You know what, everyone?
Stage of the ship.
You're welcome. Anyone listening to this right now, because remember, Pink Milk is canon now. We did make Star Wars woke. Looking at you, Darth Melvin, and Rogue Padron, all you assholes who came at us who saying we weren't like gay enough. Well, motherfuckers, we made Star Wars so damn gay that we literally brought drag into Star Wars literally now, where there's so many quick changes. Think about, Baylan, you talked about the dramatization of the hood coming off, right?
It was very dramatic.
But think about the drama, the fan. I need one of Chase's like fans. Mm-hmm. He put the hood back on. You know that dude like sat down on that rock and he's like, where's she going to come from? I need to make sure I look so dramatic. He was like poised. He was like, like taking lessons from Lady Gaga on how to like make sure he looked, he was booty tooching. He was booty tooching up on that rock. When this bitch comes in here, I have heard so much about this Lady Tano. She don't know who the fuck I am, but I know who she is. And look, I am going to look good. And then, yes, it's like I put on the suit just to take off the suit for dramatic flair. Mm-hmm. No other reason than dramatic flair. The whole conversation. Yeah, you asked about.
And if you saw his shoulder pads, since we're going there, they had like the little pointy things on them. First of all, I love the character. I think the character
Baylan's
great. I do. I think he's a great character. He's kind of up there right next to Morgan for me. But the funniest thing is, that would have been very uncomfortable to wear because it had pointy little things. So he would have been walking around with little pointy ends on his shoulder pads, which were kind of Mandalorian pads in a way that the armor had made,
What was that thing called when she made him that little shoulder pad? Also, the hood, the tip of his hood had like a lining on it. Like, you know what?
For somebody to come, would you really do that? Because you can't see, your peripheral is gone. You just see in front
if
of
you're
me.
Gay, you would.
I'm waiting at the bar.
Fashion over function. Booty tooched, ready to go. Baylan is one of my favorite kind of gays. I love
he's a bear.
A hulking bear who, when the opportunity comes, a purse falls out of that mouth and he's like, yes, queen. You know, like he was all on board. He was like to one of his friends. I don't know who would have been Balin's friend. Give me Plo Koon. Plo, daddy, you did good with hiring that girl. Did you see the way she strutted down those stairs? Like it is playing in all of the clubs. Like we are. Yes, girl. She went off on Anakin. We call her mother, queen, wig, boots, all the gay things. I don't really know how to use them properly because I'm too old.
Well, you know, I can't wait to see the next episode now. I wonder if all this energy and dragism will carry through.
You know what? Chase was right. Star Wars is drag.
Mm-hmm. Hear that, Chase?
Yeah, no, but seriously, the whole thing about him bringing up Anakin to like, my God, it is so damn gay. Think about every episode of Drag Race when it is down to like the final four queens. You know that one queen who's like, the three other queens that are there knew they were going to be there. So they're confident, they're excited, they're grateful, they're excited. The one queen who doubted herself, who got there, is the cuntiest, meanest of them all. And she will knock, that's what he's doing. He's like, I know I'm not up to her. So I'm just going to tear her down with words. And I'm going to try to like chop her down by bringing up her daddy, her master. Anyways, then she fell off and we did get that amazing transition of, you know, the waves and poor Sabine fell to the dark side. He did
it.
Oh,
yeah.
He talked her into
the handing over of the ball to then map.
Yep. And then like a typical queen. Thanks, bitch. And I'm going to destroy it. I just didn't want you to have it.
I'll keep my word.
I just didn't want you to have it. It's mine.
He did a good job up here.
He really did. He worked her right over. And then, yeah, I know I just killed your master, but you know, unlike her, I'm going to keep my word. Remember when she walked out on you? I won't. Oh, and Ahsoka was a badass watching her shoot Shin Hati into that wall. That was like peak ultimate in violence in Star Wars. It was a very jarring, like, she hit that wall hard.
Mm-hmm. She definitely did.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready
to go visit the world between worlds.
Yeah, I want to look about the costumes now.
I can look at Hayden Christensen. He is very sexy, and he has gotten even better looking as he gets older. So, okay, you ready, Pop Up?
I'm ready.
Let's go watch episode 5 of Ahsoka.
Let's do it.
Let's drink up.
Drink up.
And
we're back.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Oh, welcome back, Shadow Warrior. Episode 5 of Ahsoka.
Big episode.
Now that is why I continue and will always have faith in Star Wars.
So it brought that you back.
Was pure magic.
Camp.
Oh my God, that episode was so damn good. You know, this is one of those things where for sure, it's even better the second go around. This is the episode with Anakin. I feel real bad for Hayden Christensen because Lord knows that dude got some garbage back in 2003 and 2005 about how he can't act. Well, that dude just like brought everybody up a whole another level. The fight scenes were great. Rosario Dawson has never been better in this role as Ahsoka. This episode is so damn good.
Was good.
It's so good. Okay, we get a bunch of flashbacks. We're in the world between worlds. Ahsoka's got to finish her training. That's why Anakin is there. We go back to a battle on Ryloth. We go to the Siege of Mandalore. We get some great flashbacks with little baby kid Ahsoka. It's wonderful to see. Thomas, what did she need to learn? What did the end of the training need to be?
Interesting question. I would say she needed to be confident in the choices that she made. And the real lesson was to believe in yourself. Believe that she has the answers within her. That's my final answer.
Final answer.
Final answer. What do you mean?
What was that show called? Where they did the final answer and all the lights would go. And they'd come down on you.
It's a deal or no deal. Or it was...
Wasn't that the 90s, early 2000s or something like that?
Yeah.
Final answer with Regis Fieldman, then the then the view lady took over, right?
Feldman, Regis Feldman. Philbin. That's it. Philbin.
Kathy Lee Gifford and your girlfriend.
Regis. Yeah. Well, Mike Kelly. Kelly and her husband now, whatever his name is.
Mm.
Oops. He's a good looking guy too.
Oh.
Mark.
Okay.
Kelly and Mark.
Oh, well, let's move on. Don't care.
Ouch. Wow, you brought it up.
Yeah, no, honestly, I would agree. I think literally this Star Wars episode hit everything in a Star Wars that I love so much. It was so good. There we go. Written and directed by Dave Filoni. Maybe, I don't know. I'm fully invested in Dave Filoni. When the dude hits, he like really, really hits. And when he misses, he shot for the stars, and I'll always give him credit for that.
Oh, you weren't going to say he really misses?
No, he never. I don't think he ever really misses.
This was a good episode.
And it makes me very, very, very excited to see what a movie is going to look like. You know, I agree. I think her lesson is to trust herself. She was so wrapped up. You know, Ahsoka walked away from Anakin. That would be very hard to do anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, it's really hard. Like, this is when Star Wars works, because I just get pulled in. I get very emotional thinking about these things because those characters are so real to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was when she was in the Siege of Mandalore. That's when Order 66 happened. And she says goodbye to Rex. And it was her friendship and her belief in Rex that saved him from going down a path that he didn't want to go. And it saved her life, and it saved the life of how many other Jedi could have Rex have killed, you know, because she stopped him. Her compassion for him and his of hers short circuited the little microchip that made them go cuckoo doodle doo. And it's just beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. And we saw after that, we meet her again in Rebels, you know, years later, and she confronts Darth Vader. And she feels him turning in that moment during Order 66. She felt it. I don't think she wanted to believe it. She probably wasn't even fully like, oh, that's definitely him. And then it was all confirmed when she actually sees him on Malachor and they actually have to fight. And I'm sure that just, I think, crushed every spirit of her. She looked up to Anakin and she loved him, you know, and he was very much the face of the Jedi that had fallen from grace, and everything that she was taught to believe in was like just literally taken out from under her. And I can't imagine how hard that would be. Like, we don't have to deal with something that traumatic on that level, and lots of things affect us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says in there, if I'm all of you, and then she doesn't finish, but she's like, am I going to become like you? And, you know, he basically says no. And earlier in the episode, there's a conversation between Hu Yang and Hera, where, you know, she's frustrated because the government's coming to get them. The military's coming to shut them down because they didn't follow orders. It's so funny. This whole last episode, the good guys are like, the good idea is to not walk away from the people you care about. And other people, the outside force, the Jedi, meaning Ahsoka in that situation, is saying, no, you have to let them all go. And now here's the government, the New Republic, telling their friends, yeah, don't go after all these people. We've got a war to stop, even though they seem to never believe that the war is ever coming anywhere. It's weird. But Hu Ying tells Hera, you do what you do because you care about people. And that's why people like you. And I feel that was almost to the audience, because Ahsoka was not Ahsoka. We didn't see Ahsoka in The Mandalorian. We didn't see Ahsoka in episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4 of this. And now she's back. And I think for her too, I think in there she lost sight of why she left the Order. And she was different, and she isn't Anakin. She walked away because she wanted to fight for the people that she loved, and he stayed in. No, and she knew about him and Padme. And because he didn't walk away, he continued to follow down that path, he ultimately failed. And I think she realized, I broke that chain when I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. Mm. And I think Anakin, it was Anakin's way of telling her, in a way, you were better than me. You were able to do what I wasn't able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, think about it. Imagine if when Ahsoka walked out, if Anakin had left too. Lord knows what the future would have been, but it wouldn't have been Anakin would not have become Darth Vader.
We wouldn't have had six more movies.
We wouldn't have a franchise. But it was just so good. And I have to give props to Rosario. I mean, I think it was last week's episode where I was like pretending to act like her and I was falling asleep because Ahsoka's been so boring.
She was finding herself.
The girl pulled it back. She put on some white dress outfits. Like a good drag queen, an outfit can change everything. And she's back. Her entire energy was just different. She literally felt lighter. And that is like superb acting. Because Lord knows, she still don't talk. Live action Dave Filoni writing is like, how can we have as much silence in a show as we possibly can?
Lots of movements, lots of looks.
It was just so good. And then we get the Purrgles and...
Those are the space whales?
The space whales, okay. Which is just amazing because you watch it and everyone in it is just mesmerized by these things. And it's like, think about whales. If you've ever been on a boat, we've been on a boat and you see a whale. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You can even just see them on TV. They are majestic and everyone is always in awe of a whale.
It's true.
And it was just, it's so great. I love it. You know, the other thing that can make one in awe is when your children are wise beyond their years.
Good point.
And this is something else that I really, really love about Star Wars. Earlier, I'd mentioned that I had recorded an episode for another podcast, and I was watching Return of the Jedi. And there was something in Jedi that I talk about on that podcast, but it's in regards to Wicket. And one of the things that I love about Return of the Jedi is Wicket. But we oftentimes hear that Star Wars is for kids. And I just always take issue with that because I think it kind of is dismissive. And I feel like a lot of times when people say that, it's to like somehow like excuse bad writing or excuse weird things or whatever, or mm-hmm. just dismissive because what's for kids? I just
don't see it that it's for kids anyway. Maybe years ago it started that way, but I think of all the episodes of things we've watched over the years, I don't feel it's kid related.
I feel that it is
kids in it.
I feel like it is truly family entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the things, to go back to Avatar The Last Airbender for a minute, this new one I feel is very much almost targeted at like late teens, 20 somethings, like the generation that grew up on it,
mm-hmm.
where I wish they could have made it feel more family, more of a family event than targeted at one specific audience. But I digress. I love, here we are, Jason. You know, everyone's dismissive of him. Hera is dismissive of him because she's just in like, trying to figure stuff out, right? But he's the one who saved Ahsoka because kids don't know anything other than trusting their gut.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn along the way as we get older, whether it's church, the government, your teachers, your work, whatever, to stop listening to your gut and to follow orders. Stay in the box. We were just having the conversation about this a few days ago in our own personal life, right? Mm-hmm. Of trying to break outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And kids don't know they're in a box until they get older and people keep telling them to step inside the box. And I just feel like, of course, Jason, I mean, he's also force sensitive because of Kanan Jarrus, but like, of course he can hear them because no one's telling him that there isn't something else out there, you know? And I think that is one of the things that Ahsoka needed to learn because the institution kept telling her something else. And the whole thing of the Jedi are midichlorians are in all of us. And I believe that personally, like on a spiritual level, all of the answers to any question, they are already in us. We have millions of years of evolution inside of us that got us as human beings. We have hundreds of thousands of years of being humans inside of us. The answers are there. If you can tune out the noise and really come to center with oneness, all of your answers are there. It's not that easy. We are living in a very noisy world, and the more people that enter the world, the bigger the population, the more technology that we put in front of us, the noisier it gets, but it's there.
I agree, actually, 100%.
And I think that's one of the things that I love about Star Wars is we need all of these noises and the bells and the whistles and technology to move us forward, but they're also the things that are holding us back. Like, you can't have one without the other, but they are both always at odds with one another. And that is like life. Life is always at odds with itself. It's complicated and it's a mess, and it's what kind of makes it beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we needed the map, but the map couldn't be opened with technology. The map had to be opened with witch magic. And that's like nature versus science. And now we lost a ship, but what's there? The space whales that can get us there. And it's like, go back to oneness with what's around you, and the answers will always be there. And it is just chef's kiss, beautiful story. Like, it is, that is the story of Star Wars that I love. And speaking of institutions trying to put us in a box, I'm watching it. Was it last episode or a few episodes ago where we're making fun of how stupid the New Republic is?
Probably a couple episodes before,
because I feel like this show, even more than The Mandalorian, but it started in The Mandalorian. Well, let's look. First of all, there was no government in the sequel trilogy. Again, where I was like, I feel like that's negligent, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're sprinkling it in The Mandalorian and in Ahsoka, and neither of these shows ever make the New Republic look good, ever. They always look like bumbling buffoons every single time. Mm-hmm. And I just can't help but feel, I'm like, well, that's Star Wars for you. Star Wars is so against government. It is so against religious institutions. It is so against any outside force, which is George Lucas, which makes 100% sense of this kid who grew up in the 60s, who Star Wars was very much about the Vietnam War and against all those things. He is very much an anti-authority person, and that is baked into the DNA of Star Wars. And when Star Wars ignores that, I think Star Wars fails, because that is at the essence of what Star Wars is. Telling children, and it is not for kids, but Star Wars speaks to the child that's in all of us that we lose along the way of, don't listen to what other people have to say. You have the answers in yourself. Trust yourself. Trust yourself. Trust yourself. That is always the answer in Star Wars. And every time a hero is met with listening to someone that told them what to do or trusting themselves, they trust themselves and they always win. Every single time in Star Wars, every character goes through that, and it will always be that way. It should always be that way. We can have different sets of circumstances and different characters that might have different things holding them back. Mm-hmm. But the end of every lesson in Star Wars should be, listen to yourself. And now I can't help but watch it and go, it kind of feels like little Lucasfilms seeing themselves as Ahsoka or as Din Djarin or as Grogu. And that the New Republic just is Disney. And I just feel like it's like little Kathleen Kennedy in the gang trying to be like, yeah, we hate that we are now working with Disney.
Hmm.
George Lucas, of all people, fell for it. He thought they were going to be in good hands. And the minute George Lucas signed the deal, they crumbled the scripts up and thought that they knew better. And this is like their way of trying to get back. It's like trying to be.
Well, who is they?
Lucasfilm. The company that is now inside of Disney. Okay. And I feel like they are
they at Lucasfilm? Is it Kathleen Kennedy?
Yeah, and their story group, everyone involved. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, you have to put it on Kathleen Kennedy because she's the boss. So I feel it's her.
Which is what everybody gets mad about and at her, correct?
Oh, yes.
Is that what you tell me?
But, you know, like, look, we're parents.
Okay.
It's the same thing as a parent. Children are going to blame the parents for all the things they don't get, but never credit them for the things that they did get.
Mm-hmm.
We are all going to blame Kathleen Kennedy for ruining Star Wars, for being too woke, or for making women in Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. But they're never going to say, thank you, Kathleen Kennedy, for giving me the things that I did like.
Or making Star Wars popular.
Again.
Or giving us a big portion of your parks.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they'll never do that.
Mm.
Ever.
Well, we will.
But we will. We love you, KK. We've always...
And your shoulder pads.
Bitch, put bigger shoulder pads in. That's what I want to see. Bigger shoulder pads. Own it.
Has she actually rocked them or no?
Well, in my mind, she does. Oh, okay. I don't know. She is of the generation that probably still wears shoulder pads. I do not look at Kathleen Kennedy and go, fashion goddess.
I don't think any modern person wears shoulder pads besides
I'm not sure
players.
If she's modern. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not, KK, I love you. Put them on. Go look to Grace Jones for inspiration for the size of shoulder pads you
should
wear.
Now, does she still wear them?
Oh, you know she does. She's like, bitch, this never went anywhere. Mm. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. I loved this episode. Well, good. It was so good. What did you walk away from with it?
Well, I definitely walked away with, it was good seeing Darth Vader / Anakin Skywalker. Mm-hmm. I liked that they brought him in and out, but they didn't make Darth Vader fight her in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that she didn't really beat him in a battle, but she did beat him in the battle. So it wasn't really a lightsaber battle, albeit he lost his and she lost hers. It was more of a mental battle.
Well, she fought him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was just as much of a test for Anakin. She fought him in the same way that Luke Skywalker did. I will not fight you.
Mm-hmm.
She chooses to live, meaning I won't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I think I choose to live, meaning I choose to let life live. I don't want to continue down this path of taking life.
Mm-hmm.
And
or specifically taking your life.
You know, he was so good in that role. Like he was literally like stole the show.
Mm.
Hayden Christensen did. But I think, you know, I think hopefully this was more redemption for him. You know, he had a son who he never really got to know anyways. And so it's still beautiful to have your son like forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But Ahsoka was also his daughter and his best friend and his sister. All of those things kind of wrapped up into one. And imagine he needed her forgiveness too. And now he got it.
But didn't he need Princess Leia's forgiveness? Kind of never really told much of the story between the two.
You know, we kind of ignore that part of the thing.
Really?
I feel like we do.
I feel like it's not told, okay. That's for sure.
Well, it was told in a great novel called Bloodlines,
mm-hmm.
that everyone should read, should have been the basis for all of the sequel trilogy because it really goes into some amazing things. And mm-hmm. we know Leia, like it was so good. Leia, who gave everything to the Alliance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything. They all turned their back on her and no one trusted her anymore because she lied that she was the daughter of Darth Vader, even though she really didn't know. And so people didn't trust her because how can you trust any of the Skywalkers?
Hmm.
It was like that is such compelling storytelling. Why was that ignored?
Mm-hmm.
It was ignored. I can't help but, you know, in reality, I wonder where Carrie Fisher's abilities were at the time of all of those things happening. Which is sad to say because right. She's our princess and we love her. And I still get heartbroken. And I'm not someone who like gets heartbroken about celebrity stuff usually because mm-hmm. I'm like, I didn't know them.
And for her mother to die the next day is pretty, or a couple days. Was it the next day or a couple days later? Was heartbreaking.
Like very soon.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on board. I want to see some more Leia stories and I like, we can recast her. You know, we're going to have to do some recasting.
We'll just recast her.
No, not like that, but like,
that's how I heard it.
I don't want to see old lady Leia. Like she was put to rest and they gave her a really beautiful ending in The Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as The Rise of Skywalker is a floppy mess, it's also really brilliant in a lot of ways. And at least it had fun.
Floppy mess.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun and I will give it all the stars for having a really good time. Yeah. You know, I love this episode. It was so good. I can't wait to watch the rest of it.
Excellent. Well, you have 5 more to go.
No.
4?
3.
Boom. Made my day.
All right,
three
everyone.
To go.
Thank you for listening. As always, we will see you next week. And in the meantime, you can follow the show and me at DeathXRobot on Threads, on Instagram, and on YouTube. Email the show at pinkmilk@deathxrobot.com. Keep an eye out for a new website. All sorts of new things coming here. Stay tuned. Keep listening. And until next week, drink up.